very nice. Thank you very much. I would like to thank for the organizers, Andre, Kasia, Antoni, for the invitation and giving us possibility to talk our recent work. But we came from the atomic and molecular physics, and then we just started to work on the laser about 5 years ago. 4 years ago was a meeting here, exactly the same time period, organized by Len Cederbaum and Robin Santra, and we were here. And that time we started to work with Lenz in the second project. I would like to share my work, and in a first part of my talk will be this experiment, simulation of an experiment, which probably will come out very soon in the Crowns group. And another part of my talk is a control. It's a control by laser-induced conical intersection, what we started to do with Lenz 4 years ago, exactly from this meeting. The first part of my talk is a numerical simulation, an attosecond experiment. I met with Ferenc 4 years ago when he mentioned that they would like to do this, but that time I didn't know why it's so difficult. No, I understand it. They would like to do a pump and probe attosecond experiment for a three atomic system which is neutral. So the question is a neutral and three atoms, and I heard it many conferences that the diatom and the many atom is probably more easy, and the 3, 4, 5 is more difficult. So they would like to do this three atomic system, study this three atomic system, neutral system, and to use attosecond pulses both from pump and from probe side. So this is the difficulty, and also we started to work on this 3 years ago. I have a very nice French collaborators, University of Montpellier, Fabien Gatti and Benjamin Lazord, and Aurelia Pervaux, and then also English professor Mike Robe connected to our work because he helped us to modify the Gaussian code in order to calculate the one electron charge density oscillation. So the first idea came from Ferenc Krauss. What they would like to do, now we made some simplification. I will mention both, but I also will mention what they would like at the beginning. So they would like to probe somehow the electronic wave packet in a neutral system, in a three atomic neutral system. This system will be the ozone, but now we have a way, algorithm, how to go step by step. At the moment, we are at the stage of time-resolved photoelectron spectra. We can calculate it, and now we will easily try to implement these techniques to other three atomic system, but we would like to start in Debrecen, we have a small group, NO2 also to do this. So that's why I gave the address a little bit wider than the ozone, but in this talk I would like to mention the ozone. So we will describe the electron dynamics and also the nuclear dynamics separately, both quantum mechanically in the ozone molecule. And then, so this is the ozone. The ozone has a very nice electronic structure and very difficult also, many couplings. And so this is the ground state, the Wolf, the Chapuis, the Huggins, and the Hartley. So we have four different energy bands. And the first idea, what the experimental group wanted, and the first simulation what we did is that to include the Chapuis and also the Hartley state in this calculation. The ground, the two Chapuis, we have in the Chapuis band, we have two Chapuis states which are coupled by non-adiabatic coupling, so we had to do a diabetic. I came from the field of non-adiabatic molecular dynamics, so for us it was not so difficult to do, but maybe if it's something is not understandable, please just tell me. So we have two states here which are coupled by non-adiabatic coupling, and then this is the Hartree state and this is the ground state. And the idea of the experimental group was to excite these Chapua states by a near pass, and with the third harmonic of it at the same time to excite the Hartley states. So in this way, they can provide a coherent superposition of few states, and they can create electronic wave pocket. And the next step, they wanted to probe this. So we try to simulate this mechanism by calculation. So, but when they start to do it, it's very early, it's turned out that they realize that it is a very difficult task because the transition dipole between the ground state and the Chapua state and the between the ground state and the Hartley state are very different. So it means that it's very different that they had to use here, let's say for the ground state and the Hartley, much larger than the ground state and the Chapua, and that's why they had to use much larger intensity to populate the Chapua state than the Hartley state, and then it caused many difficulties from experimental side. So let's say I will show the coherence, the electronic coherence we calculated, and they kill the coherence because if this intensity property because it's they had to use different intensities, and then due to this problem they killed somehow the coherence between the systems, so they couldn't see anything. So finally, to come over this problem, we last year in a high harmonic generation conference we came to the conclusion with Reinhardt. Unfortunately, I cannot meet with him here, but he will come next week. Maybe he can tell you something about the experiment. That Reinhard Kimberger, yes, he is the head of this project, and Michael Jobst, the PhD student who is also involved in this project, they work a lot on that. And then for 4 years, but it is very difficult, they try different parameters, different intensities, different pulse lengths, everything. So what we calculated the whole step with a one parameter set, but we can easily repeat it for any other parameters what they found fine. So finally, we completely, and also we had another problem that this Chapua state, one of them is a dark state, another one is a bright state, so we can excite directly from the ground state only the bright state. The other one can be excited only just via conical intersection, because we have a conical intersection between the two states, and still another problem. So we completely leaved out in the second simulation this Chapua state, and we assume only just the ground state and the Hartley state in the coherent superposition. So we have an electronic wave pocket created by in this way. Only these two states are included. So this is the ground state, this is the Hartley state, and what the experimentalist suggested us to use in the simulation is the near laser, the laser pulse with alpha lambda equal to 260 nanometer to excite these states, these Hartley states, 3 femtosecond, and then the intensity what we used in the simulation, 10 to 13 watt per square centimeter. And but we also did the simulation for when the Chapua were included. So we have two papers on that. But during this talk, I would like just to describe the simplified version. So what we use, this is the in the simulation, we had to solve the time-dependent Born-Oppenheim method. So we assume a Born-Oppenheim separation. We solve the electronic and nuclear motion separately. We start from the total electronic wave packet as the nuclear and the electronic part. And then, so if we put it in the Schrödinger equation, we easily come out to the nuclear Schrödinger equation integrated over the electronic coordinates and so on. This is the nice way. So we have to solve at first the nuclear dynamics. This is the nuclear Schrödinger equation for the nuclei. And what we will do, we solve this equation, and then using this time-dependent coefficient from this equation, we can easily build up the electronic wave packet. Later on, we will calculate the different electronic states, and then using this as a basis function, and from here, the time-dependent coefficient, we can build up the electronic wave packet. So we will have an electronic wave packet. So this is the nuclear Schrödinger equation. It's a nuclear kinetic energy, potential energy. This is the coupling. So as we leaved out completely the Chapuis state from the calculation, we have only just the light matter coupling here. We have no non-adiabatic coupling at all because we leaved it out. And then, so what we did, we solved this. We used the MCTDH. This MCTDH code is developed in the Heidelberg group, mostly, but Hans-Dieter Meyer, he also helped us a lot in the calculation. This is a very efficient code, and up to 25-30 modes can describe very accurately the nuclear dynamics. And also another important thing is that in this nuclear wave packet, the phase is included. So we have a very nice. And then, so we could solve the nuclear Schrödinger equations, and then we could easily build up the density operator of the system, and from the density operator we could calculate the density matrix, and then using the density matrix with this expression we could calculate the population on the proper states in the X or B states, and also using the off-diagonal elements of this density matrix, we could calculate the electronic coherence between the two electronic states. So we have electronic coherence and we have population. This is the electric field that we used. Then this is the population. So it can be seen that using these parameters, with what we obtained from the experimental is 10 to 13 watt per square centimeter intensity, and 3 femtosecond pulse length, and then 260 eV, we could put the 40% of the population to the excited states, to the Hartley states. That's what we could do. And then this is the electronic coherence. We can see that we'll go very fastly, and then remain here, it's 3-4 femtosecond, go down, and which is interesting that we find that the coherence come back again. Even when the pulse is off, the electronic coherence comes back again. So it can be probed that the beginning process, I will mention it later, we concentrate to this, but it is really difficult because it is in a time scale, it's 15-20 femtosecond, and the molecule dissociating, so it's extremely difficult to write this to describe this process. And that's why we concentrate now only on this region, because we, from the nuclear dynamical calculations, we know that let's say for the ozone, will remain about 4-5 femtosecond for this parameter in the Franck-Condon area. So we can keep fix the nuclei in the first experiment or simulation, and then to treat the electronic part when we can keep the fix the nuclei. It is also possible, Ferenc told us, because they would like to use attosecond pulse, and then if the molecule remain at the first 4 or 5 femtosecond in the Rencondo region, there is a meaning that they have mean to probe the electronic wave pocket in this region. And this is a little bit easier at first, and then we will try to go further, of course, but it is extremely difficult because in this region the molecule is dissociating. So to see this effect, this coherence revival, double calculated a very nice, we calculated the two-dimensional nuclear density function. This is the two-dimensional nuclear density function here. This is the nuclear wave packet, and we did the integration over the angle. We have only the two variables, the two bond distance, and then here this is the picture, and you can see this, that somewhere here there is nothing, and then later on come back the density, so you can see the coherence revival in this map very nicely. So that's what we have in from nuclear dynamical side in the simulation, and now we go further to the electronic structure. So we use the Gaussian and the MorePro program packages to describe the electronic motion, different methods, CASSCF, and we also did MRCI checking and use different basis set. And what we did, we just calculated the those electronic states which are involved in the coherent superposition of the neutral system with this method. And we, as I mentioned, we used the time-dependent coefficient from the nuclear motion to build up the electronic wave packet. So after long calculation, I just put here the very end results, that we could calculate the excited state's differential electronic charge density at the Frank-Condon geometry. And then this is that, and then the nice picture is here. So we could see that the electron and hole is beating between the two bond angles. So we could see this nice charge oscillation, but it's still difficult for the experimentalist to do something. So we decided to go further. So we have this one electron charge density, excited state charge density oscillation, and then using this we went further. We could see that it is good to calculate the Dyson orbital, because the Dyson orbital can help us somehow to calculate further the photoelectron spectra. That's what we, at the moment we have time resolve, but we would like also angular resolve photoelectron spectra, but that one is more difficult. So we try to go step by step. So this is the Dyson orbital. This is the time, as usual, this is a time-independent Dyson orbital, but using our electronic wave packet, we could define also, it's many calculation, we could define also these are the time-dependent Dyson orbitals, and then so we just published it a few months ago, and then this is the cover page, our nice orbitals are the cover page of the GFISB specialist U. These are still time-independent Dyson orbitals because we have a neutral system, and in the neutral system, the electron can be either the X or the B state, and we can ionize it either from the X or from the B, and then we targeted the ionic states, and then we took into account, at first, we wanted to take into account only the ground cationic state and the first two excited states of the cation, but later on we went further because the energy levels were very close in the cationic system, and then we finally targeted 18 different energy levels in the cation. So we have many transition what we had to calculate. So these are the time-independent Dyson orbitals, and here the time-dependent density of the Dyson orbitals. And then, so using the time-dependent Dyson orbitals and Dyson norm, we went again further, and this paper just appeared today. It was accepted last week, and then it's appeared today, where we calculated the photoelectron spectra, time-resolved photoelectron spectra of this system. This is an experimental, and then we calculated the, as I mentioned before, one ground and then 18 excited cationic states. So you can see the transition, let's say, the energy difference between the ground state of the neutral and the first and the ground state of the cation. Ground state of the neutral and the first excited states of the cation, and so on, until 18 excited states, the same, but instead of ground state here, I put the B state. So we had many many transitions which were calculated, and then in this summation we summed all over. So we have many contributors to this sum, and from this we here is a Dyson norm. So from the Dyson orbitals we could calculate, from the time dependent Dyson orbitals we could calculate the Dyson norm, and we found that in the paper of Sergei Pachkovsky and et al. That the Dyson norm are good predictors to calculate the corresponding ionization yield. And we use this, and then these are the Dyson norms, and then we could calculate the stick photoelectron spectrum, and then we convoluted it with the Gaussian and then wave packet, using the same those parameters which were given by the experimentalist. Reinhardt suggested us to try it 95 eV, but they went further. At the moment they are trying 140, so it is trying. And then, so if we use this probe pulse energy, and we use 500 attosecond lengths, half femtosecond pulse duration, pulse length. There is a width, it's a 1.5 eV energy domain, and then we calculated here the convoluted photoelectron spectrum, and now we put here the time with the help of the electronic wave packet, and finally our last expression is here. This is the time-resolved photoelectron spectra, what we calculated, and then this is the results. So what we can see here, that we just can monitorize the burst of the electronic wave packet. So we are here only just this region where the molecule remains in the Franconian area. And we can see easily, even problem because we have a width, and then even we can reconstruct that from where the electrons come from X or from the B. And then here, this is the cut, this is a cat, where we can see that, let's say, in this time interval, in the excited state, in the B state, the intensity is increasing in this time interval where the pulse is on, and here is off. So it's somehow there is a depletion of the intensity in this interval. So that's what we could see, and then hopefully I had some emails in the last weekend before with Michael Jobst. He's a student who is working a lot on this experiment with Reinhard and with other postdocs and students, but it would be the PhD work of Michael Jobst, so he is still working on the lot, and then they would like to somehow to reproduce this some similar. And then, of course, if they finally use other parameters, we can repeat the calculation. That's what we have. This is the same results, but it's more pictorial. because we just simply put away that here. This is a better construct, construct because we consider the differential time-resolved photoelectron spectra because we remove the contribution from the ground state. So this is only just a difference. So this is the first part of my talk, and I try to keep the time. Another one is a completely different. There is no overlap between the two projects. Is a quantum control by laser-induced conical intersection. That's what we had. We started to develop 4 years ago, and it looks now it's very interesting. And then so we just came to the conclusion a few days ago with Gabor that somehow it matches to the to this workshop. Because this will be very important when the intensity will increase. I will show you why. So as I mentioned in the beginning of my talk, we came from the field of non-adiabatic molecular dynamics, and then there the conical intersection is a basic thing. The conical intersection is a crossing between potential energy surfaces. And then it's really very important because they are, of course, everywhere, even in three atoms, but in a large biomolecular system, they are very, very important. And I also would like to mention the work of Professor Wolfgang Domke and Andrzej Sobolewski, who could publish many nice results on the. We called it natural conical intersection because they are exist in the nature, that they provide the photostability of many biological DNA and many important biological molecules. So the conical intersection is really very important in the nature. And then it is also well known that there is no conical intersection in diatomic system. It is a so-called non-crossing rule. But I will show that with the laser we can create conical intersection even in diatomic. So it is very, very pictorial to show because there is no conical intersection and we can create, but I would like to emphasize that in many atomic systems, we also, where there is a natural conical intersection, with a laser we can create a new one. So this is also, so that this is the field what we try to study now. So far we only studied mostly the diatomic system, but it will be extremely important for large atoms because we can create and we can use them for control. So we can create also in large system. So why we have a conical intersection? Because the laser rotates the molecule. And then so we have another degree of freedom in the system, not only the vibration. I am talking about diatomics. So we have one vibrational motion, we have one rotational motion. And then it is also known that to create a branching space in the molecular system, we need at least two different degrees of freedom. So if we have a rotation, we have two different degrees of freedom. So it can be a conical intersection in diatomic system. And then I put here a very simple sample. This is the sodium 2, and then this is the Hamiltonian of the sodium 2. This is the kinetic energy, this is the potential energy, and this is the light-matter coupling. I will take into account only just two states, the ground state and the first excited states, and these two states will be coupled by a laser, which has omega L frequency, and then for the sodium 2 molecule, these two states, the ground state is the X1 sigma G plus, and the first excited is a A1 sigma G plus state, and the laser and the wavelength of the laser is 667 nanometer. With this field, we can couple these two states by the light. And the non-vanishing dipole matrix elements, only the Z component will not vanish, and this will be responsible for the light-induced transition, in this case, in the sodium. So we had this Hamiltonian, and then we can write it in a Floquet picture. The Floquet picture is an n by n picture. So we have to use a large matrix in generally if we would like to do. But if we have only just normal intensity, I will show it also later, the 2x2 Floquet approximation is working. So at the moment, what I put here is only just the 2x2 Floquet picture of the former Hamiltonian. And then in this Floquet, this is, in our language, we call this as a diabatic Hamiltonian. So this is the diabatic Hamiltonian. And if I will diagonalize this Hamiltonian, I can obtain the two adiabatic surfaces. One is the adiabatic upper, and the other is the adiabatic lower. And then if I would like to obtain conical intersection between these two surfaces, two conditions have to be fulfilled. One is the cosine theta should be equal to zero. It means that theta equal pi over 2. Another one is the yxr has to be equal var minus h bar omega l. So these two conditions have to be simultaneously fulfilled. It means that to obtain conical intersection, the theta has to be pi over 2. This is really very important. And now, so this is the diabatic Hamiltonian. If I do the diagonalization, I can obtain the two adiabatic surfaces. This is the transformation matrix to obtain the adiabatic Hamiltonian. This is the transformation angle. This is a procedure. And then you can see here these nice two pictures that after transforming this Hamiltonian from diabatic to adiabatic picture, it means in our language that the potential energy coupling will move to the kinetic energy. So instead of potential energy coupling, what we have in the former picture, we will have a very strong non-adiabatic coupling in the momentum, in the kinetic energy. And you can see here the value of it. So we could create a very strong non-adiabatic coupling with the laser. And then it is also well known in the non-adiabatic molecular physics that if we have a conical intersection in the system, so this is a topological scarf in the system, then the real adiabatic electronic wave function change the sign when we made a closed contour around the conical intersection. So there is a phase jump. It's called a phase jump. But because the total wave function has to be single valued, it means that one possible way to overcome this problem just to introduce a phase. And then if we use this this phase times with this phase, the electronic wave function, it will be complex, of course, but the total wave function will be single valued. But this electronic, this complex electronic wave function will have some direct effect on the nuclear dynamics. This is well known. But what is important for us that we should have somehow to calculate or to show that we have a Berry phase. Because if we have a conical intersection, even if it's laser-induced, not natural, we should have somehow a Berry phase in the system. We know how to calculate the Berry phase without laser, so we follow the way, but in a Floquet approximation. This is the non-adiabatic coupling between the two states, and then in this with this integral, we can calculate the Berry phase. And then, so we went through on it, and then I just would like to show the result. This is the ground state of the sodium. This is the cut. This is the shifted Floquet picture of the first excited state. And if we have a conical intersection, see the black curves here, we start from zero, we take a closed contour around the conical intersection in the configuration space and go here. So there is a phase jump. If we go back, this will be the value of alpha. But if we have no conical intersection, let's say this curve and this red curve, we have no phase jump. We go the same, 0, 0. So this is, but we have to keep in mind that it's in a Floquet picture. So I use, it is an approximation, it's a crude approximation, because instead of the exact time-dependent Hamiltonian, we use static 2x2 Hamiltonian. And then in that picture, we calculated the Berry phase. So this is an approximation. And this also picture, if we start from here, this is a white, the white is zero, and go back, close the circle. This is a black, it's pi. So this is the value of the Berry phase, the same. So we calculated many dynamical properties in the sodium. Let's say we solved the time-dependent Schrödinger equation, and we calculated the autocorrelation function, the diabatic population on the excited surface. We calculated also the alignment, which is important, with and without Lici. What does it mean for us without Lici? When we took into account the Lici, we called it laser-induced conical intersection, we did two-dimensional calculation, both the vibration, the R, and the rotation, the theta, were treated as variable. And then when we did the one-dimensional calculation, we just put as a parameter the theta angle, sometimes the theta, sometimes the R, because we also, for the alignment, we used as a one-dimensional model to make comparison the rigid rotor, and in the rigid rotor we freeze the vibration, and also we allow the molecule just to rotate. So in our case, the one-dimensional means that the second variable is a parameter, not a variable anymore. So we calculated this dynamical properties using the time-dependent nuclear wave packet. And then these are the results. So I haven't mentioned yet, but it is important to see that we can play the position of the conical intersection. If we change the energy, we can shift the position here. Let's say increasing the energy, we can put here from left to right the position, and then changing the intensity of the laser, we can play with the strength of the non-adiabaticity. If we use a stronger laser, the non-adiabatic effect will be stronger, and then with the less intensity, it's weaker. So let's say we have this one here, and then we calculated that quantities what I mentioned. And then let's say if we put here the nuclear wave packet at the beginning, and the conical intersection, the energy is a little bit above than the ground state of the X in energetically, then the whole population will remain in the ground state. Nothing happened. But if I change a little, we can see that in t equals zero, this one is the population in the even here in a ground state. But then suddenly we'll go here. So I can play with the population if I change the position of the conical intersection. And then again the same, it's another effect. And then here just to show you that. We did one-dimensional and two-dimensional calculations. One-dimensional is no Lici. I will call it without Lici, and two-dimensional with Lici, because we have two coordinates. We can see the remarkable difference between, let's say, the population on the upper state, upper adiabatic states, when we took into account the light-induced conical intersection, the population goes down very fastly to the ground state, and then in the one-dimensional picture more or less remain in the upper state. It is very well understood in the non-adiabatic dynamics, because we know that if we have a conical intersection, then the population can goes down very fastly via conical intersection. This is well known. We also calculated the molecular alignment, which is important in the laser physics. So we can use different energies, let's say four different energies, and then we can see that if I increase the energies, I will push the position of the conical intersection from right to left, yes. And then we can see that, let's say for this energy we have here, this is the H bar omega L1, this one, and then for the next energy here, and for here, and this one here. So I put, and then we can see that here and here, practically, almost nothing or very small difference between the two and one dimensional calculations, and here big difference. We have a big difference. These are here, the alignment. We calculated the molecular alignment, and then so we can see here, this is the first energy, this is the last energy, and in this case the one dimensional calculation means the rigid rotor. We keep as a parameter the vibrational coordinates, and then we treated only the rotation as a variable. That is a one-dimensional calculation, so there is no conical intersection in the description. We don't assume conical intersection. Why? In the two-dimensional calculation we assume. It's a big difference in the alignment. And then what I would like to show is that the Floquet picture. So far I used the Floquet picture. The Floquet picture is, I told it's a crude approximation. First of all, it's static approximation, and then we use the 2x2. And then this is a good approximation if we would like to represent what is going on, to see the physics behind our theory, but it is very illustrative and helps to understand the essence of the Leibniz conical intersection. But we wanted to know that what is the limit of the Floquet approximation. That's why we made a big calculation to compare three different theoretical methods: the exact time-dependent solution of the Schrödinger equation, the so-called rotating wave, which is very familiar, and the Floquet. So I show here, this is a 2x2 Floquet Hamiltonian. So that's it. I will go back to the end of this presentation to this Hamiltonian again. So this is the 2x2 Floquet. And then now I start from the time-dependent Schrödinger equation. This is the time-dependent Schrödinger equation. I assume atomic units. And now I will do two-state calculation. I will include only two molecular states. Therefore, generally, I can write the wave function, the total wave function of the molecule in this way. This is the electronic wave function of the ground state or the X state, electronic wave function of the second state. This is the nuclear wave function of the first state and nuclear wave function of the second state. This is a general solution. I include the phase, let's say, in the nuclear electronic wave function, as the MCTDH method also does. So this is the general form of the nuclear wave function, total nuclear wave function. I will put this nuclear wave function into this Schrödinger equation. If I put it here, I will I do the general stuff, the integration over the electronic coordinates and so on. I will arrive to this nuclear Schrödinger equation 2x2, because I took into account two states. This is the Schrödinger equation, and now without loss of generality, I can put the psi tilde a. This is the nuclear wave packet of the second state, this form. This is only just a form. And then if I put this form into this equation, and then I perform some algebra, I will obtain this equation without any approximation. This is exact, still exact. And then I go here, I assume an explicit form for the light-matter coupling. This is the dipole, this is the electric field. I assume this form. This is the dipole, amplitude, envelope, and then so I put it. And then if I put this form to the light-matter interaction into the former equation, I can obtain this time-dependent nuclear Schrödinger equation. So I arrive still assuming this form, still exact, no approximation. So I can say that for molecule with two electronic states, this equation provides the exact solution for the nuclear dynamics. And now, if I neglect these two terms from the Hamiltonian, this one and this one, then here, from here and from here, I will arrive at the so-called rotating wave approximation. So we start from the general form, and we arrive to the rotating wave approximation. And no one step, if I put here to the envelope 0, Ft equals 0, I arrive to the Floquet. So in this way, I could show that what is the connection between the three approximation, the rotating wave, the Floquets, and let's say the rotating wave is somehow an adiabatic Floquet approximation, it's called in this. So that's what we did. We could show, and then Gábor made a nice calculation to show what is going on to calculate the 2x2 Floquet, not only just exactly what we did in a level of equation, but also in a numerical calculation. We increased, here is a nice agreement in the different dynamical quantities, autocorrelation, population between the Floquet and the exact. And as we increase a little the intensity, we can see the deviation here. This is the Floquet, this is the other two. The adiabatic, this is the rotating wave and the exact solution, and this is the 2x2 Floquet. So it looks that the 2x2 Floquet is a very crude if the intensity is increasing. So we cannot use it anymore. So that's why I would like to show a D2 plus, which is maybe interesting. We went a very simple system. This is the D2 plus molecule to see what is going on, because we wanted to understand more deeply. And then what we would like to see is just the direct effect, somehow the laser-induced conical intersection. And then from now, we will use again the MCTDH code. Instead of using Floquet approximation, we could see what is going on Floquet side. We wanted to do exact. We wanted to solve the time-dependent Hamiltonian for the nuclear motion as it is, without any static picture. So this is the situation. And then this is the ground state of the D2. This is the D2 plus ground state, and then the other is this is the 2 diabatic surface. This is the ground state, and this is the shifted. This is only just a picture, so in a Floquet. But we didn't use the Floquet. I just show what is going on. So ground state D2. This is the D2 plus ground state. This is the first excited D2 plus. Which is shifted by one photon, and then this is the 2 adiabatic surface after diagonalization. So we have this, and then so we did many calculations. First of all, for the starting, we put here the nuclear wave packet, and then sometimes we started it from Frank Condon vibration average, and sometimes we started it some vibrational eigenstates, to see what is going on, and we found many nice results. Let's say we calculated the KER, the kinetic energy release, and we found that, and then we use different alignments. Sometimes we use parallel, sometimes we use perpendicular, sometimes isotropic. So let's say for the parallel molecular distribution, we found that very nice agreement between the 1D and 2D calculation. the kinetic energy release practically the same. It is not how to say it is straightforward, because if the molecule is parallel with the laser field, there is no difference if I take into account the rotation or not, because this is in the laser field direction. But if we use another, let's say, initial orientation, perpendicular or isotropic, there is a very big difference between the one and two dimensional calculations. Because, let's say, in perpendicular, the laser can rotate the molecule in its direction, and also from isotropic distribution, the laser can rotate those molecules which are not in its which are not parallel with the electric field. So we also calculated the kinetic and another important thing is that we found in very nice things in the spectra that certain vibrational states practically missing from the spectra. And then we also could give the angular, we calculated the angular distribution, and then this is also interesting to see what is going on. We found that that there is a big difference that for small and for larger intensities. In larger intensities, we found many dump, dump or hump structure in the angular distribution curves. And then this also, I am sorry that last week was here Jan Michel, they also calculated something, and they also found this dump structure, and they didn't, I think they came to other conclusion than us. But finally, we wanted to understand what is going on in this side, and then we made nuclear density map analysis, and we came to that conclusion that that mostly that happened in the system, that there is a conical intersection, and the conical intersection can couple the different motion in the system, can couple the electronic, the rotational, and the vibrational motion. And even if we start in the simulation with the rotational ground state, later on, because the laser rotates the molecule, will come higher and higher rotational states into the play, and then will happen the interference pattern. So we calculate the angular distribution, what we did, we integrate this effect. That's why the bumpy structure appear in the integrated curves. And we are very happy because few months earlier, this group, Philip Boxbaum group, measured exactly the same for the H2+. So this is the first experimental evidence of the laser-induced conical intersection in diatomic, and they presented, the paper hasn't appeared yet, but they presented it, I think, in June in the CLEO conference, and they sent it as these are the interference picture, and this is the bumpy structure, what they measured, exactly the same what we calculated. So we are happy that we have experimental. And then we also have, but I have no time, I will skip out. I just would like to show the most important. I will discuss with you, because we did what you did for the intensity, we did for the energy, exactly the same. So we could show that if we change the energy, the adiabatic upper surface, form will change, and then the bound states of the upper surface will change, and somehow we can also control the stabilization of the molecule. We can the same conclusion as you 20 years ago, but you did it with the intensity and we did it with the energy. But the most important results for us is this, which is unpublished yet, but I would like to show that it is really very important. And might be, it can be very important for large intensity, because you see here these two curves, these are extremely important because we have 1D and 2D simulation. And in the 1D simulation here, we are very close to pi over 2, where the conical intersection. Almost nothing from the 1D. And then it's a large effect from the 2D. This is the same. What does it mean? Somehow, this is the dissociation rate. When it is very funny, very interesting, because in this region we are perpendicular with the electric field, and even we are perpendicular to the electric field, many molecules dissociate. How can it be? Because the laser rotates the molecule in this direction, in his direction. We have, we understand what is going on. We have a very strong non-adiabatic effect because of the laser. And then in the upper adiabatic surface, the non-adiabatic effect rotates the molecule perpendicular to the laser direction, just opposite what the laser would like to do, just opposite. And then as we have a conical intersection, this population goes down very fastly to the lower surface because can dissociate only just the lower surface, cannot do from the upper surface because it's trapped. So it will dissociate from the lower surface, and this will appear here, very close to pi over 2. And then this is very interesting because if we see, we have a realistic pulse. In the pulse, we have an intensity, and then we have a cost. Another part which depends on the angle. And if we put this part will be zero when pi over 2 is theta equal pi over 2. It means that this part will be zero, and the other part, which is proportional with the intensity, should be very large. And we exactly obtain this. Then we have a small intensity, 10 to 10, 10 to 11. We have nothing here. And we go higher, higher, higher. Then we have much larger. So this is only just an example, realistic physical example, that we can see the direct population, the direct effect of the Lici. So it should be there. But we can see another physical problem, physical situation and dynamical situation when it comes, and also in many atomic molecules. So it is very nice because we can induce nature conical intersection by laser, and we can control what we want. This is the very basic and then the very first results that we could see the direct impact. It cannot be otherwise, this big close to pi over 2, because it's just opposite what the laser would like to do. So we are happy.
So why do you see the bump only for the heart?
Here there is no bump. I just, because I skipped that part, but might be Andre know that. These are that part, which these are the energy level where the bound state somehow of the upper adiabatic surface is close to the energy of the vibrational wave packet, and then these will be trapped, cannot go immediately.
So
this one go immediately, there is no population remaining, but this cannot go. This, we also play with the energy. If the energy is different, the shape of the upper potential energy surfaces. We did exactly what they did, but with the energy.
It doesn't relate to the fact that these are odd levels and those are even.
No. It's just, It's only related to the shape.
Two figures.
Which one?
Two slides maybe.
Back?
This one.
This is one dimensional, but
see,
it's
there are positions where the dissociation is almost zero.
Yeah.
And for different
initial wave pockets,
it happens at different positions.
Yeah.
So it just happens that for that calculation, the odd vibrational levels was close to it.
Yes. So this is this small effect, but we can see that, and if the intensity will increase, will be much larger, and the huge non-adiabatic effect, let's say, is the responsible that the DNA and the large biological system are very photostable. So it's very important So what, and we can do it by laser. This is important. So what we like, and then so this is a very fresh that we haven't. We are just writing now the how to publish this. But I think it's very very nice because we have a large amount of dissociation on that region, and then this is cannot be otherwise just with the conical intersection because somehow has to go back to the lower surface. Not only just rotate to perpendicular to the laser field, which is very funny, but also it has to go back to the upper surface to dissociate because cannot dissociate from the trap from the upper surface. So that's what would like, and then so this is a summary. So we could show it also for only just for diatomic molecule, but it also exists for many. And then in this case, in diatomic system, let's say the rotational and vibrational degrees of freedom provide a two-dimensional branching space. We could see many indirect impact alignment and also population on different surfaces, diabatic and adiabatic surface, and correlation and so on function that Litzy has a strong impact of this dynamical properties of the system. And then I also mentioned that the position of the Tse or Litzy can be determined by the laser energy and intensity. And the polyatomic system, conical intersection are given by the nature, and we can also induce conical intersection by laser, and the interplay and will lead to a wealth of new phenomena we see. And in the future, we have students and postdocs in Debrecen, and we have experience with the ozone. And in ozone, there are many conical intersections between the states naturally, and we can create also by laser. So it is very interesting what is going on, but it's difficult to study this problem. Also, we can create Litzy by Chirp pulse, because in this way we can play with the energy, we can change the energy continuously, and it's another interesting thing. And then what we are doing now in new collaborators from Cluj, we would like to describe, we have a detailed description for the dissociation, but not included the ionization. And now we are working on that how to describe in this Litzy framework the full dynamics, the dissociation, dissociative ionization, both quantum mechanically. Thank you very much. I forget to mention the collaborator, Gabor, and then the first part, our French collaborator, I already mentioned their name, and David Lavergnac, also from French microbe, and then the other second part, mostly with Lenz Zederbaum. So we started with him 4 years ago, and we are still working on that with him.
Questions? Yes? We managed to grasp, I remember there were already some experiments by Krasinski who attributed similar effects you were showing to Born Hardy.
I haven't seen that. Thank you.
On this angular effect scene, but this I read, discussed with him 10 years ago, and I forgot the details. Maybe it's bigger than Krasinski.
Okay, we will see it. I just know this experiment that I show from Adinathan. They send us this result. This one.
And yeah, then they killed it while this worked 20, 30 years ago, right?
Yes. He did it something, but not this one. So this is that is a real. There are many papers, and also I. Yes, I discussed a lot with Cutter.
I tried to convince him that should be 20 years ago.
Yes.
So he's doing it now.
Yes, Katerina was here, and then we discussed a lot because he did a lot. She did a lot with Osman Atabek. On this, they always mention that it's a strong non-adiabatic, it's avoided crossing. And we could show this is not only avoided crossing, because if it's avoided crossing and not a real conical intersection, how could it be that the population goes fastly down? So this is a yes, this is a different things, yeah.
This is exactly the last point you're referring to. Could you elaborate on that? What is the basic difference between car crossing in two dimension and conical intersection in higher three dimension or so? What is the basic difference?
What the basic is a curve crossing or
and conical intersection.
If you have a conical intersection, you have a real crossing. If you have only just a avoided crossing, it's avoided crossing. So it cannot cross each other. That's to obtain the two surfaces cross, you should at least 2 degrees of freedom. Two different, you have to do different requirements.
So the symmetry requirement is complete in the
Yes.
I think the basic sense, small number and singularity.
Yes. You have a very strong singularity. If you have a very if you have a real coupling, you cannot solve the adiabatic problem. You have to go adiabatic representation, because if you have a real crossing, the non-adiabatic coupling is singular, and it will be in a kinetic energy of the nuclear motion. It's you cannot solve it. That is a, you know, it's a, how to say, regular process to do diabotization immediately and put the non-adiabatic coupling, singular non-adiabatic coupling, to put it into the potential energy. And instead of being a nice potential, diagonal potential energy matrix, you will have a full matrix. But all of them will be most, not 100%, because it's a, you know, it's a, not how to say exact, but it's a transformation. You put the non-adiabatic coupling into the potential energy. This is a track what the people in this field follow. That's what they did. They solve everything in adiabatic representation. That's what they like.
I have a small additional question. In the beginning, you showed that there was a revival in the polarization.
Coherence.
You call it coherence revival.
Yeah.
And is there any connection to so-called photon echo, where there is also coherence revival, but only in a two-level system? Here you have a multi-level situation.
For us, we think this coherence revival is that we excite from ground state to the Hartley, the ozone, and the wave function oscillate back and forth. And then start to dissociate this direction and that direction, but one part of it come back again from the potential, and then we'll make a coherence again with the remaining part which remain in the ground state. We think that that's happened in our case for the ozone.
That is in the absence of the field, you said.
Yes. There is no field because we have used 3 femtosecond pulse for probe, and then this will come back after 10 femtosecond. There is no field, so field is off. Sorry. More. Here. Now, this one. You can see here that there is a large electronic coherence when the pulse is on this region. So we have 3 femtosecond. And then goes down very fastly and nothing and come back again. Then the reflecting back in the upper surface, in the Hartley, the electronic nuclear wave packet, and then again make a coherence between that part which remain in the X.
So your pulse was about 5%?
C. In the simulation, 3. But maybe they would like it shorter.
And why is the electron frequency the same 20 femtoseconds later? I mean, the geometry of the molecule has changed, right? The electrons are going up and down between two surfaces.
It changed because we'll remain only just a 4 or 5 femtosecond.
I think I think the point is that this revival is come from that part of the upper surface which came back. Which
from the black. Reflected and back so from the first, B.
So in that case, no? The difference between two surfaces will be the same as at the beginning.
Yeah.
This one. This is some part is trapped here. One is dissociated, but yeah, some is
energy,
part.
Electronic energy separation changes.
Only just the dissociation part.
I mean, the electrons look up and down all the way along as a function of R.
Yeah.
And its energy is changing. So you'd expect the attosecond frequency of the electron to also change. It doesn't seem to show up in your picture.
Might be, yeah. Which one? Which direction I have to go back?
It seems to be constant, right?
Yeah?
No, you go back to that, the picture of
the coherence.
Show me the coherence. Yeah. Okay, is the electron oscillation period the same everywhere? Or
yes, it's very
is
similar.
It the same?
Yeah.
No, the less is attoseconds, right?
No,
this is probably is the electronic time scale. This is the nuclear time scale.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, let's thank Agnes again.